What it do, baby? Yes, sir. It's the Zoo Yorker, and that means one thing and one thing only. I am your host, Big Zoo, a.k.a. Ed R. Zoom, and coming to you here on May 3rd, 2024. That's a Friday for all of you that are keeping count out there. Ooh, baby, ooh, baby, ooh, baby, ooh, baby, ooh, baby. We're about to get this weekend started off right today, baby. So make sure you hit that notification button, that follow button, and that subscribe button, whatever it is where you happen to be listening right now. Appreciate that. That way you get notified every time an episode of this podcast drops. So you don't got to keep coming here to look at it. You can enjoy your weekend. And whenever every episode comes out, you can look at your phone and you'll see a nice little notification there knowing that you have the episode ready to listen to whenever you are ready to go. Oof, it's a beautiful thing. And if you enjoy my sultry sounds here on a Friday morning, please feel free to leave a 5-star review. It helps get more eyes onto the podcast and it lets people know what we're doing over here. So I appreciate you all for listening and appreciate you all for doing that. Now let's get down to business because these New York Knickerbockers are on their way to the second round of the NBA playoffs and they couldn't have done it in a less cardiac fashion. I mean, woof, woof. That game took a lot out of me. I'll be honest with you. Blowing a 22-point lead in probably less than 10 minutes of game time, I don't think I've seen that before, at least not from this team, definitely not from this team. That was pretty gross. That was pretty disheartening. And then you look at Buddy Hield, who is one of the role players. You look at Joel Embiid, who completely went off throughout this game and was getting every single call for a long period. I mean, this was gearing up to be an atrocious, atrocious loss for the Knicks. And I mean, they pulled it out. They came through in that second half, especially late in that third quarter. And they made sure they took care of business. I'm shocked that they were able to hold on to this one. I truly am. I thought this one was coming back for 7 about midway through that fourth quarter. When the Sixers are roaring back and you see that crowd coming into it and you see that the Knicks are looking like they are running out of steam. But one man and one man steps above all, and that is Jalen Brunson. This dude is legitimately one of the best players that I've ever seen play in a Knicks uniform. Actually, I take that back. He is the best player I've ever seen in a Knicks uniform. And that's saying not a lot because, I mean, if we're being completely fair, I'm born 95. So the first years that I'm remembering are early 2000s. Let's talk 2001, 2002. So you're talking Sprewell, Houston, Charlie Ward. A broken down Pat at that point. I mean, yeah. This is clearly, by far, the best player that I've seen in a Knicks uniform. And this kid is, he carried them last night. He did that. He put down another 40-point effort. Another 10-assist effort. He is the first man since Michael Jordan, MJ, to go out there and drop 37-plus points in 4 straight playoff games. He's only the third man in history to have 40 points and 10 assists in multiple playoff games in the same series. He is absolutely living up to every bit of expectation that was placed upon him coming into this playoffs. And last night was his moment. Last night was his, I'm here, I'm a superstar, welcome to the superstar life in the NBA moment. It's undeniable at this point of what Jalen Brunson is. And that's a star in this league, and that is a beautiful, beautiful thing to confirm here on a Friday morning after a Knicks win. Oh, moving through to the second round, Pacers now, and now that series, we'll get into the nitty-gritty of that series, but just so you guys know, off the bat, you're not going to be able to play 6-7 guys against the Pacers and get away with it. You're going to need to have a lineup. You're going to have at least 8 or 9 guys coming off every night and giving you legitimate minutes because the Pacers move. They're not older. They're not slower like this Philadelphia team was. They are going to up and down the court, up and down the court, up and down the court every single time you miss. It's a lot, but it's also a fun game to watch. So we'll talk more about that as we get closer to the series and definitely over the weekend here for sure. That series starting, of course, Monday night as they've just announced at the Garden. So get your tickets now. But let's go back to last night for a little bit more here because I need to give shout-outs to this team just in general. You got Jalen Brunson. You got Josh Hart. You got Dante DiVincenzo. Villanova boys going back home, winning playoff games for the visiting team with their championship banners flying in the sky. I mean, it's actually incredible. Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, and Dante DiVincenzo all have raised more banners in the Wells Fargo Center than Joel Embiid ever will in his career. And then Nick Nurse ever will in his career. Oh, baby. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. But hats off to those two in particular. I already gave Jalen his roses. But Dante came up humongous in this game. I mean, 5 of 7 from deep. He was great from the free throw line. Especially those two that he drilled late in the game. Needed those both to go down. He made it happen. 23 points on the night. 7 assists. Good game out of him. And then, you know, Josh Hart did his Josh Hart thing. He got a double-double, threw 7 assists in there, played a pesky defense throughout the entire game, and he was smart. He didn't take the bait when it was there for him to take a couple of times. When they were trying to get him to do something stupid, when they were trying to get him to lose his cool, he didn't. He stayed in the game, he got it done, and at the end, oof, that three from the top of the key, oh my gosh, that is exactly the type of shot I've been dreaming of in a playoff series. That is exactly the type of shot I've been dreaming of seeing go down for the Knicks to win a playoff game and to advance to another round. My entire life I've been waiting for that. And it happened. And Josh Hart was that dude. He came through big time. And you love to see it because the bench for the Knicks today was non-existent. I mean, not only did they not play a ton of minutes outside of Mitchell Robinson, but they just didn't contribute whatsoever. I mean, Deuce did nothing. And I love Deuce, but he just did nothing out there today. So this was a game where you were going to need the secondary starters to step up. And those two off the bat did a big-time job. Hartenstein getting himself in double figures and points. Massive. If you can get Isaiah Hartenstein to start averaging 10-plus points per game, along with his 9 or 10 rebounds a game, that is a very, very efficient player right there to go along with Mitchell Robinson's defense and to go along with what Precious Achiuwa also offers with defense. And another man who gets his roses today, OG Anunoby. This dude, he's the personification of what Tom Thibodeau loves about basketball. He's just a gritty-ass player. Incredible defensively. I mean, I think he is about as close to a shutdown corner in the NBA as there is in the NBA. I mean, I'm sure there are a couple other guys who can be put into that group, but he is absolutely right at the top of that list. He is unbelievable. He literally can guard Joel Embiid all the way down to Kyle Lowry and Tyrese Maxey. It's baffling, but fun to watch, if that makes sense. And he goes out there, and he also puts on offensively. He goes on and drops a hammer onto Joel Embiid's head for an and one that, of course, he didn't finish because the Knicks can't hit their free throws, but they did late in the game, and they handled it big time tonight, although, I mean, sheesh. Mike Breen and Clyde couldn't have tried to jinx that anymore at the end when they kept bringing up how many free throws they were missing and how, oh man, could this bite them in the butt? Maybe, maybe they did the old reverse jinx there. And if they did, final broadcast of the year on MSG, of course, and that is a tough thing to hear because I love hearing those guys. I love Clyde. I love Breen. So hats off to them for another great season. Breen, of course, will be calling the NBA Finals, and he'll be over with ESPN, so I'm sure we're going to get a couple of games with Breen at some point this playoffs, but it just sucks we're not going to have any more Clyde this year. But I'm happy they got to send Clyde out on a win. I'm also really happy that Tom Thibodeau was able to get himself out of the doghouse, at least with me. He was able to get himself into some form of stability. I mean, and it's exactly what he needed coming out of that series, because if they would have turned around and blown it, if they would have lost Game 6, if they would have ended up losing Game 7, this would have been a time to fire Tom Thibodeau. Now, Tibbs is good. You had to get through this. You did. Good job. You stick around now, at least another year. I know it's a crazy thing to even have to say out loud, but you know what? You do have to say it, because you have to keep tabs of these things, because you have to keep tabs of where this team is going and how they're going to get there. And if Tom Thibodeau could not take this team that is tailor-made to his coaching style, this is the best it's going to get for Tibbs. This rotation that he currently has, I mean, yes, it's not deep. He's not going 9 deep, and I'm sure that kills him. But this is the most Tom Thibodeau team that he will ever have. System proficiency through the roof. I mean, everybody out there is legitimately a dog who's willing to dive on the floor and borderline injure themselves to get a basketball, a loose ball, to win the game. That's this team. And that's a Tom Thibodeau player. And if he didn't get through this first round, if he would have failed, then you would have had to get rid of him. Because you can't accept that. You can't accept that from him. You can't accept that from this team. And you would need to kick them into a completely different direction. Tibbs saves the process. Ha ha! The process, baby. The Leon Rose process. That's the right process. That's the real process. That's how you get to where you want to go to. Oof. Oof. It's going to be fun. This is going to be so much fun next round. There is a lot of pressure that is now relieved from this team. I mean, Indiana is a very tough matchup. It's going to be a brutal series. And we're going to do a lot of preview on it over the next couple of days. But, baby, this is a big, big moment for this franchise. Back-to-back years into the second round of the playoffs. Unbelievable that it's taken that freaking long to do that. Jalen Brunson is sitting out here getting compared to Michael Jordan in some of these stats. OG Anunoby just took Joel Embiid's soul. I mean, it's a great time to be a Knicks fan. It's a great time to be a Knicks fan. So live it up today. Enjoy it. Go out there and get all those drinks. And make sure that you are partying up. Because this is a day to celebrate Knicks fans. Tomorrow, we can start worrying about Indiana and everything that goes into that series. But for today, just enjoy it. Just reflect on the great moments you just got from a great team. And from a young man in Jalen Brunson, who is the superstar point guard that this franchise and you have been dreaming about for the last 50 years. He's here. Enjoy him. And enjoy this L Philly! Suck it, Nick Nurse. About last night. Oof. Yeah, baby. There we go. We're starting to perfect that right there. We are starting to perfect that, I think. Oof. I like it. I like it. All right, a little about last night, and I guess we might as well start in the NBA, and we'll go over to Indianapolis, where great things happen, of course. And the Pacers handle the Bucks, blowing them out by 20-plus points in this game, making them look like complete jokes. Dame did play in this game, Bobby Portis did not get ejected in the first quarter of this game. Now, Giannis did not play in this game. And the Bucks end up falling short in the first round for a second straight season. And, I mean, you want to talk about disappointments. You want to talk about complete choke jobs. I mean, I guess it's not a choke job with the injuries that they ended up having, but you want to talk about a team that should have never been in a situation like this. That's the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, they were way too talented early on in this season, and whatever they decided to do, where they made a bunch of stupid trades during the year and firing Griffin, and I don't know what the hell happened behind the scenes there with that, but it just felt like when they made that move and they brought in Doc Rivers, they signed their soul to the devil, and they were not going to get what they wanted. And Indiana, a hungry team in front of their home crowd, absolutely feeding off that energy and just building and building and building on a lead until it absolutely ballooned into what became a 20-point win. I mean, you got to give credit where credit is due. They took this series from Milwaukee. Milwaukee left it out there to be grabbed. Milwaukee did not take any type of measures to make sure that they were coming out on top or to do anything to prepare. I mean, they just got absolutely mollywopped throughout this series. And I get it. Like I said, there's a lot of injuries. You don't have Giannis. You don't have Dame for a couple of games. But when you bring in Doc Rivers during the season to replace Adrian Griffin, he better be able to make all the adjustments during the playoffs in order to win you these games. He was able to win one back in Milwaukee. I mean, now you're coming back from 3-1, but that's their fault too. It's an absolute joke that the Milwaukee Bucks have fallen short in the playoffs for two straight years in the first round. And that gives you perspective, Knicks fans. That's what's happening outside of here. So remember those days? I mean, we wouldn't make the playoffs for consecutive years ever. But if we did, we would have got knocked out in the first round of all those. And that's how that feels. I mean, we probably wouldn't have had the expectations of a Milwaukee team. But this season, that's what it would have been. We would have been like Milwaukee, falling short of what we're supposed to do. And if that would have happened, I don't know. I think it would have put a black mark on this team in this season. It didn't happen, so we're not going to have those difficult conversations. But look at Milwaukee. You don't want to be Milwaukee. You don't want to be where Milwaukee is, paying superstars who don't want to be there ridiculous money, and having them ultimately not do anything, not give you any type of payback, no return on investment on any of these guys. Think about it. They're paying Giannis how much money, and what did they do? Losing the first round. They're paying Dame how much money, and what did they do? Losing the first round. Yeah, exactly. Now, I know both of those guys sell a ridiculous amount of jerseys, so you can make that argument. But when you're going for championships so that you can increase the longevity of the franchise, so you can increase the value of the franchise, so you can make the franchise more of a national brand in what the NBA has now become with fans all over the country for teams from wherever. But instead, you're losing back-to-back playoffs in the first round and getting embarrassed doing so. I mean, the Pacers embarrassed them in this series. This should have been a 5-game series, but Milwaukee was able to find a little bit of air when they got back home. But Indy made sure to take care of them real quick, wrap their asses up when they got home for Game 6, and that's a marking of a truly good team. So Indiana and the Knicks starting off Monday night. This is going to be a doozy of a series. I'm telling you right now, do not take this team lightly. They do a lot of things well that the Knicks do not do well. And the Knicks do a lot of things well that they don't either, to be fair. And there's an absolute, like, really good chance that the Knicks game is able to knock them off theirs. But do not take the Pacers team lightly. And I'm going to get more into that, like I said, over the weekend, Monday morning. So make sure to hit that subscribe button, make sure to hit that follow button, turn on the notifications so you get all of the notifications when the podcast drops. You don't have to wait for me to post it on Twitter, you don't have to wait for me to post it on Instagram, wherever you see it. You can just go out and listen as soon as you get the notification. And I'm telling you, I put these episodes out early. It's not, it's a lot earlier than what I'm tweeting. So make sure to hit that follow, make sure to hit that subscribe. And that way you will be notified when we do the episodes here over the next couple of days on the Pacers and the Knicks and preview that series. And speaking of series, the Mets happened to split one with the Chicago Cubs. And it was nice that they were able to get the split in this series. Like I said, you had to at least get a split here. But, I mean, that was a... We talk about the Knicks game being insane. That Mets game was absolutely just as wild. They come back from a 4-0 deficit, end up tying it at 5, go to extra innings, no runs scored in the 10th, come out in the 11th. All of a sudden, Chicago puts one up. Now you're in a situation where you got to put up runs, and this Mets team has been struggling ridiculously with that. And who else but Francisco Lindor comes through? He had a 4-RBI day. He came off the bench. He did not start because he had a little bit of the flu or a little bit of the, you know, maybe a little bit of the something else going on. I mean, he got pulled the night before. Maybe that neurovirus hitting him pretty hard, but who knows, who knows? I'm not going to speculate on that, but he was not healthy enough to get it going here today. Ends up coming off the bench, and he came off like Deuce McBride typically comes off. He hot and ready to go. And that's what you like to see from Lindor. I think he is on his way to breaking out of this thing in a big way. I think once he breaks out, and I think I've said this here before, but he is going to be an all-star borderline MVP candidate. I think you're going to see one of the best runs of Francisco Lindor's career once he gets himself into that groove. And we're seeing it. It's not going to just click immediately. It's going to take a couple of weeks of revving up, and you're going to see moments. You're going to see moments like this. You're going to see moments like where he has two home runs in a game. You're going to see moments where he's connecting with the ball really well, but he's not getting any production. And then all of a sudden, I guarantee you, it's going to all click for him, and you're going to see a Francisco Lindor that you have been dreaming of if you are a Mets fan for the last 4 or 5 years. He is going to be that damn good. I promise you that. I can just feel it. And I know that's a ridiculous thing to say when you have these types of results this early on in the season. But I'm telling you, we'll revisit this conversation in a little bit. And you will see it. You will see it by then. Trust me. But one quick thing I want to touch on here with the Mets before I pivot over to the Yanks. Adrian Hauser, I'm good. I'm good on seeing him. He can go the way of Joey Wendell. They can both kick rocks together. They can hop in the backseat of my car. They'll drive their asses to wherever the hell is offering the most bags of balls. And we will have ourselves a nice little road trip. We'll play some good music. We'll stop. We'll get food. And as soon as we get there, they can get the hell on out. And I'm going to come right back on home and never have to watch either of them play for the New York Mets again. Both of these guys are just absolutely pathetic. Wendell again with another mistake yesterday where he's throwing the ball. I mean, what is this guy doing? Gives up a run, gets it in the second inning because of his stupidity on a fielder's choice. I mean, Adrian Hauser, his ERA is over 8. Like, this isn't professional baseball. This is not professional baseball. And it's annoying. It's annoying. I went on a rant about how baseball is this and that, and it's not the same anymore yesterday. And now I'm just sitting here and I'm going, I not only is that a part of how I feel, but this freaking team is employing two guys who are actively trying to make them lose. I mean, or maybe not trying, but they're actively making them lose every time they touch the freaking field. Then now the Mets were able to pull out a miracle in this one in the 11th inning, dropping the 2 on him with Francisco Lindor coming off the bench, being raised from the depths of, being sick to coming up and being the hero. If that doesn't happen, Adrian Hauser is a goat today, a dog, in a bad way. And the same thing goes for Joey Wendell, who has been all season long. But now Adrian Hauser needs to add his name to that list because I'm tired of seeing him go out there and on his best days give up three or four runs. I mean, it's just pathetic at this point. I mean, seriously, there has to be other options for a starting pitcher other than Adrian Hauser, who is a glorified innings eater. It's pathetic. David Stearns, you're better than that. You're better than that, man. So the two guys on the list just to keep track for the Mets for me right now, Joey Wendell, and add Adrian Hauser there. Ugh, the pain, as my good friend would say. But the Yankees, they're going through a different type of pain right now. And that would be the agony of getting whooped by a division rival. 3 out of 4 games, they dropped to the Baltimore Orioles. I mean, I get it. It's only May. It's only April and May in this series, and there's a lot of baseball left to be played. But what Baltimore did was they asserted early dominance on this division. They did exactly what they had to do. And they whooped Carlos Rodon's ass yesterday. Who, Carlos Rodon has had himself one heck of a year up to this point. But he got shelled, and especially after that nice little Gleyber Torres foobar in the field there. And Rodon does need to overcome that. But you know what? It's at a point where we got to talk about Gleyber Torres and his terrible defense and his lack of consistency at the plate, because he had a great season last year. He's had great seasons. He has amazing power. He's probably one of the best. I mean, if not the best, he's one of the best power-hitting middle infielders in the game. But he's just such a liability to have out there. You can't have it. You can't have him playing in these situations anymore. You need to take him off of the field at least for a couple of games, and you need to sit his ass, because what he is doing to start this year is atrocious. I mean, it's just, that's the only way to describe it, and it's hurting everything that you're trying to do in terms of building a season. Now, the Yankees are overcoming it. I mean, I get it. They have a great record right now, but this is one of those things that's going to rear its head at the end of the year that people are going to go, oh, see, when you win and you just go, oh, hey, the results are great, so we're not going to change anything. That's why you change some things even when the results are going great. Gleyber Torres has to be a change. And I know he hits the home run yesterday. So, oh, hey, look, he contributed. He put up a run for us there, baby. He got us something. No, that's what Gleyber does. Gleyber hits these home runs that are meaningless in situations that are either blowouts one way or the other. He's not hitting meaningful home runs in big situations that are winning games. He's not driving in meaningful runs typically that are winning games or doing anything. He's sitting there and he is feasting on poor situations in games. He's feasting on blowouts. He's feasting on teams sleeping out there. That's what he does. So to give him credit for that, great. Yeah, you could give him credit for that. He puts up stats, and that's, I guess, the name of the game if you're a player. That's how you get contracts and you get money. But he is not a winning player. He's not a guy you can win a championship. He's not a guy you will win a championship with, and I can guarantee you that. And wherever you send him, it doesn't matter. They're not going to win either. Because you can't win with a guy like Gleyber Torres on your team. He just does too many things wrong. Period. End of sentence. It's not deeper than that. He's not a bad guy. And I get Juan Soto has a connection with him, so he has to stick around. No, he doesn't. Juan, look at him. Look at him. You want him to be sitting on the end of the bench, then you tell him you're going to pay him. Then, Juan, you can send him $5 million, Venmo it for him from your account every year. Because the Yankees can't afford to be paying Gleyber Torres $20 million, $10 million, $5 million. He ain't worth it. He ain't worth it for them. But if you want him on the bench so badly, you can pay him, Juan. Go right on ahead. I know that's not going to happen, though. And I know it's probably highly unlikely the Yankees are even considering trading Gleyber Torres in season. But that is the best move that they could possibly make for the franchise, both this year and going forward. I mean, you have to get some value for him. He does have value, and you also have to get him off of this team expeditiously. So we'll monitor that situation. It's another thing for us to keep an eye on as we go through the baseball season here. But go New York, go New York, go! Knicks are through to the second round, baby. We got the Pacers Monday night. So make sure to hit that follow, subscribe button. We will be getting you all of the information on this series along with the Rangers and the Hurricanes, which is going to begin on Sunday. I don't believe we have a start time for that yet, but it is going to be another second round series at the Garden. Oof, it's May. It's got to be May when you got these teams cooking like this. I mean, actually, I'm lying. I've only seen this happen maybe once in my life, and it ended immediately in the first round. So this is going to be a fun summer here. Make sure you're on board for it. Appreciate you all being on board for it. I look forward to speaking to all of you beautiful people tomorrow. But remember, have yourselves an amazing Friday. Stay safe out there. Enjoy it. Quench your thirst. But for now, I must bid you adieu. Peace!